Do we have a special guest today?
Oh, a very special guest indeed. Chef Joe Flam from season 15, the Top Chef winner season 15, came back from Last Chance Kitchen, as he reminded Kristen Kish on the last episode. He was on the episode 2 host. He hails from Chicago. He is the chef and owner of Rosemary and Boulevard Steakhouse. He is a huge Bulls fan and White Sox fan. And we've got lots of stuff we want to talk to you about, sports in general. But the main show today is talking to Joe Flam about the Miller Caves and his experience at episode 2 of this season of Top Chef. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good to be back, boys. Always, always good to see you.
You were able to watch the episode. How did you feel you did? You know,
it was good. You know, my wife asked me right away. She goes, "Why are you the only one swearing?" I'm like, "I'm just the only one getting edited to swear." You know, I'm like, everyone, Kristen Kish is dropping F-bombs like crazy too. So, you know what I mean? She just got a softer edit out of it, I think.
How do you feel about Milwaukee? It's kind of your sister city there, rivalry just down the road in Chicago. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're like, you know, our kid brother up there. And it's my wife's a Marquette grad, too. So we're big Milwaukee fans of this house. And so it was really fun to go up there. You know what I mean? And it's funny kind of seeing a production like Top Chef in Milwaukee doing Wisconsin. You know what I mean? All these East Coasters, all these L.A. people. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, you're smack dab in Midwest Central, baby. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like they're like, what do we do here?
You are on the set for the full episode. What has changed about the show fundamentally in the 7 years since you were a contestant? Anything stand out?
Challenge-wise, it seems like it's pretty much the same. I think they give them a little bit more like rest in between days. I don't know if they've just been, you know, got on the Popovich schedule of the Spurs.
No back-to-backs.
They're doing load management or what? But besides that, you know, it's crazy. It's even, you know, 7 years later, you walk in and it's, you just feel like sitting in there for a quick fire. Like, you know, I was talking to Kish and we were both like your nerves are like 100% like fight mode.
Yeah. She was mentioning how she would get goosebumps just watching them start quick fires. Like you, it's not PTSD, but it's bringing you back. Right.
Right. It's just, you know, you're there and you're like, you're kind of like, oh, are we going to have to go? Where it's like a weird, you know what I mean? I feel like it must be the transition when you go from like player to coach, where you're kind of like, you know, there's 10 seconds left on the clock and you're like, do I go in?
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like it's hard to not sit in that kitchen, even though, you know, the kitchens are different because they're in different cities. But, you know, the setups are kind of the same. And, you know, to see the time on the clock and not to, you know, the hairs stand up on the back of your neck a little bit.
So it's actually because one of the big themes in NBA debates when you start comparing players across eras, you know, sort of the MJ versus LeBron versus the old guys thing is like, you know, players today are just better because the game has evolved so much. The training, like the technology. Do we think the Top Chef, and honestly, even outside of Top Chef, the broader world of chefdom and professional chefs in general is like that? Like, would like the 12th place chef of today's Top Chef, like kick ass in season 2, just like walk over the competition? Like, has chef this evolved to that point where you almost can't compare across eras because there's better ingredients, there's better technology, there's better training, people know stuff they picked up from the internet. Like, is that evolution also applicable to like food and chefdom?
100%. I was actually thinking about that last night. And I'm like, you know, it's like, especially with Kish, it's like, okay, this is kind of this new era, right? And, you know, I think it's like they always, you know, the GOAT conversation, they're like, oh, those guys were playing against like plumbers and taxi drivers, right?
Right. The Bob Cousy, yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, that plumber, when you went to the paint, was going to like absolutely smash your face for coming in with a soft layup. So it was like a little bit different. You know what I mean? And so I think it's kind of the same thing where it's like, there's probably, I think, you know, better chefs applying now. I think more, you know, regarded chefs applying now, like a broader like array of them. Yeah, it's better technology. They have access to better restaurants. You know what I mean? They can see cooking videos from all over the world at their fingertips instantly. But I think also if you had to take one of them and throw them back into a season 3, like just the way they were doing things, the ingredients, the everything, I think that it wouldn't be so cut and dry like that. You know what I mean? They might, you know what I mean? They might be able to hold their own, but they might get dog walked just by, you know what I mean? Kind of the circumstances of like, that was, you know, those were some hard groups of chefs then.
That's true. But it is a world where like, I grew up in a world where angel hair pasta was really novel. Like that's like, just put the lampshade on. That is exotic food. We're going to make the noodle. I mean, like, it is just, when I watch like old episodes of Mad Men and I look at like the food they're eating and it's just like, God, that must have been terrible. Or was it great? Like, I just think that there is, like, across time, it's so interesting to kind of look at that, whether it's Top Chef or just food in general.
Right. And I think, yeah, that's kind of the weird thing about it. It's like there's so much more access now, right? From even when I started coming up, where it's like if you wanted to know what other chefs were doing, you had to read magazines, you had to read cookbooks, you had to, you know, read, you know, culinary journals or watch shows or whatever. Whereas now it's like you can go on Instagram and see what a dude's, you know, you read, watch Francis Malbin cook potatoes in rural Patagonia over a fire, you know what I mean, yesterday. And so I think it's like that's the kind of big difference to it, for better or worse. You know what I mean? And I think it's just kind of like the same as the NBA. Like, you can't really compare it apples to apples. It just doesn't work, right? You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, oh, the players are better. But it's like, you know, like, how does Steph line up against that, you know, the 89-90s Pistons teams? You know what I mean? Like, what does that look like? Or LeBron going to the lane on those guys? Like, you know what I mean? With Lambeer, like, punching them in the face in between a commercial break. Like, you know, and it's like that kind of stuff where it's like, it's not exactly apples to apples. So it's kind of hard to tell of, like, what these chefs would look like in those things. I think it would still just be, it would be really competitive and really different. I don't know that, you know what I mean? I think if you took one of those chefs of that era now and put them on the show, they could compete because they're now. But if like them in that era of the show now, it would be super weird for them.
So Padma is leaving the show. How does that hit with you? And were you ever like, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here? I want to be the next host of Top Chef.
You know, somebody said that to me at one point. They were like, oh, you think you're going to throw your hat in the ring? I was like, I don't think anybody wants me to throw my hat in that ring. That's not like a trade anybody's looking for. You know what I mean? It's kind of a non-starter.
I didn't say other people. I said, did you? Yeah. I said, did you want to throw your hat in the ring?
No. I was like, I don't know what they're going to do, who they're going to find to fill this role, because it's such a massive spot. I think Padma was so iconic with it for so long and such a, you know what I mean, like, force of the show that it's like, you know, I think everybody, you know, was shocked. And then when they announced Kristen, everybody was like, oh, okay, that's the one person who would work.
Tell us why. Because we don't know her, and we only know her as a contestant. I mean, like, what's she like? What is? Give me the case for it. I mean, I'm enjoying it thus far, and it's a great experience. But I'm just curious, like, what where was the epiphany? Of Kristen.
I think she just has, you know, kind of the whole package. Like, you know what I mean? She's very much like, she's an incredibly talented chef. You know what I mean? She knows food, no doubt. She's very technique centric. But she's a great host too. She's super welcoming, you know what I mean? Very, very charming. She's obviously gorgeous, like, you know, and, but I think the most important part of it is, like, you know, Kristen's her own person. Like, she wasn't going to try to be Padma.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they would have massively screwed it up. And I think what people were afraid of is they were going to try to find another Padma. And you can't do that. You know what I mean? You got to go another way with it. And they went another way with it. And with going someone who is still an incredible host, still, you know, super warm, welcoming, charming, all those things you want, but is even more on the technical side, I think just, you know what I mean, even kind of beefed up that judges table a little bit more.
Yeah, I was noticing that she is one of the distinguishing characteristics she has in the first couple of episodes that I love is, like, she is just really dorky about cooking and food. Right. And I love that. Right. Like, it's like having a really good analyst on there. And it's one of her defining qualities. And it's I think it's just great for the show.
Right. And having an analyst who was a really, really good player.
Yes.
Who's, like, done it on the highest levels. Exactly. Right. So it carries a little bit more weight. Whereas I'm like, you know, if I'm like, oh, the Bears should do this, you're like, cool, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're a great center in eighth grade. Like, that's awesome.
Were you a great center in eighth grade?
That was pretty good. But it's like, for somebody, you know, I think when you hear those people talk who, you know, it's like the, you know, Peyton Manning's, like, where it's like, I think it's so interesting because it's like, he's done it at the highest level. He's won at the highest level. So when he says things, it's kind of like, that's probably a good point. And, like, sees it from kind of both sides, where I think Kristen has that unique point of view for that judges table where she's seen it from both sides because she competed. And, you know, it's like, I always, you know, the couple times I've gotten a judge, I've always make jokes with Colicchio of, like, You know, he's like, I would do this. I was like, you'd say you would do that.
Yeah.
But like, go on the other side, be over there and go do that. You know what I mean? Like when I was doing the Houston one, he's like, oh, I would have put like a whole alligator head out there. I was like, bullshit, you would have. I was like, because you want to be the guy who got sent home from Top Chef for serving a whole fucking alligator head, Tom?
Forgot about that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, so I think it's cool that Kristen has that, you know, experience of both sides where she can just speak from it, not just from kind of the one vantage point of like, I've been on the other side of the table for so long, but like that I've seen both sides. So, you know, when you see these people fail or see what happens, like, you know what happened. It's not just, you know, the average passerby of like, why can't this guy hit a layup?
Tom seemed particularly curmudgeon-y this episode, which I love because as a guy entering middle age grumpiness, like it's great. But between the, oh, I hate that, the second dessert and they turn a dish, a snack into a snack, not a, you know, like he was particularly curmudgeon-y, which I just think is really great for the show, especially because Kristen is a little bit softer than Padma. So like, I think that you're going to need even more of that, you know, a little bit of intimidation. Is my impression correct? Is he delightfully curmudgeon-y?
Oh, so delightfully curmudgeon-y. And it's so good. You know what I mean? And I think Tom is just at the point, you know, 20 seasons in where it's like, you know, I don't know how much of a fuck he ever gave, but it's really now he just lets it fly.
It's awesome.
That's the best. It's the best Tom. You know what I mean? That's what you want. You want him saying, looking at two desserts and being like, oh, fuck, are you doing two desserts? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you want that. And it's awesome. And it's like, and this is like the little inside baseball on top, which is like my favorite thing. So when you're there, you know, you have an ear pod in where they're like telling you like, hey, ask this question, you know, so we all sit there with our ear pods. Tom sits down at the table and takes his out. You know what I mean? He doesn't care if anybody's telling him what he should ask or what he's just doing whatever he wants.
He's running his own plays. He's like, yes. Coach draws up a play and he's like, you know what? I'm going to run my own pick and roll.
Oh yeah. Dude, he's Belichick out there. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, not good. And you're just like, awesome. I love this.
Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this episode of Pack Your Knives and would like to listen to the rest of it, please become a paid subscriber.
Just go to packyourknives.com and sign up for an annual subscription. That's packyourknives.com.